All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Digital Dive Podcast. Not even just another episode. This is the first episode of season two. Yes, welcome back, everyone. I hope your holidays were fun, were good, and you guys were staying safe and indoors. But yeah, welcome back. Jacqueline, what's going on? Haven't talked to you in a bit.
Yeah, it's been 3 weeks since we recorded our last episode. It was kind of hard. I'm not going to lie. I posted like a weekend. I was like, I'm really missing recording this. So I'm really happy that we're back.
Oh yeah, I'm so happy we're back. But at the same time, I'm also very, very happy that we took a break. Mostly just because I got to do absolutely nothing for the past 3 weeks, and I literally did nothing. Like, when I say I did not, I mean I did nothing. I laid in bed. It was great. I've never done that before. It was great.
Yeah, for the first, like, 4 days, I did absolutely nothing, and then the next, like, 2 weeks, I worked on, I think, my favorite video of all time, or maybe, okay, not my favorite video of all time, the producing the commercial for Samsung, just experience-wise, was my favorite video, but this is my second favorite. It was ranking 20 smartphones.
Ooh, I saw that.
Yeah. It was really fun to make. I worked on it with Luke, actually, who's the editor for Digital Dive and a really good friend of ours. He did a bunch of the animations, and it was just, that video for me is my best performing video in terms of average watch duration, like how long people watched it.
Really?
Yeah. The animations and the fast pace and stuff like that. I really spent a lot of time on the soundtrack, and there's a ton of comments about that. And it's just like the soundtrack kind of led you through the whole video. And it definitely showed up in the curve, the average watch time curve. So super excited about that one. That took like almost 2 weeks to edit. And then after that, I was working on the iPhone mini review, which is also doing super well. So it was nice to have a little time off and then just being able to just focus on videos. I didn't do any other work aside from that. It was great.
That's honestly, that sounds fantastic. And everyone new here, welcome to the Digital Dive Podcast. It is a podcast that we record every single week for you, the listeners, to hear all about what's going on in the tech world, plus what's going on in our lives, and just, you know, a little bit of banter back and forth about the best coffee, in my opinion, espresso, and Jacqueline's cold brew. But we'll definitely get into that probably later into this episode, more than likely.
Yeah, dude, I feel like it's mentioned at least once.
We have to.
This is just a conversation about tech. And I think that we should start it off, starting off this episode, season two, with a bang. OnePlus 9, much anticipated device. There are so many rumors circulating about it, so much hype to build up. Darsh, if you had to say, like, what's like the one thing that you really want them to do on the OnePlus 9?
Okay, so this is actually a rumor that I'm really, really excited about, because what they said was that they were going to be partnering with Leica for the camera, which could provide huge image processing improvements. So basically, Leica partnered with Huawei, like, I think last year, 2 years ago, and or a couple years ago, actually, and they've been creating amazing, amazing cameras for the Huawei phones. And I think that, honestly, bringing Leica into the mix when it comes to OnePlus could make their cameras even better than they are, because I feel like they've been kind of mediocre. They've never been top of the tier, like never been competing with Samsung or the iPhones of them all. Like, they're good, but they're not there yet. And I feel like with Leica in the mix, this is going to be absolutely insane.
That's one of the areas where I feel like in every single OnePlus video I make or camera comparisons, it's always like the OnePlus device is great for speed, performance, software, but the camera is just not flagship level. And even with the 8 Pro, which was definitely a flagship phone, it was so much better than it had been in the past, but it was by no means like the best smartphone camera.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I think that could be huge. The other main thing that we've kind of come to expect from OnePlus is just the high refresh rate display and the fast software, and they're bringing it back again. There's going to be at least an 120 hertz display is what the speculation is right now. 6.7 inches. I personally used a bunch of phones this year on the Android side of things that had a smaller display, like the Pixel 4a. And there's definitely some merit for it. So I would love to see OnePlus create a flagship phone that's more compact instead of like a more mid-range phone like the OnePlus Nord. But this is kind of like they're pulling out all the stops. So it makes sense that they would put like a 6.7 inch display.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, I kind of picked up on this last year, and I kind of talked about this a little bit when we were talking about the end of the year, the best phones of the year. And my perspective has always been, and it kind of still is, it's that with all the different gadgets we have in our day-to-day lives, like having a huge smartphone isn't always a necessity. Like at the end of last year in December, I was mentioning that I would actually love the 12 mini, the iPhone 12 mini, because of how small it is in form factor. And I still stick with that. I think that having a smaller phone right now wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, because we're always surrounded by screens and computers and everything like that. I don't mind just having a phone that can do everything with a smaller screen, because I have all my big ones that I actually watch everything realistically on, or like actually consume content on and use for all my main work. So I would love to see, and I think that they actually might be doing that this year with the OnePlus 9e. I don't know if they've ever done an E model before. I feel like they've only done the T model.
Yeah, you're right.
They're bringing in a rumored OnePlus 9e this year, and it won't feature all the same certifications as the OnePlus 9 Pro or OnePlus 9. So I think this will be their budget version that actually could be smaller. But that's just my speculation from what I've been reading and from what I've been hearing.
Yeah, I guess time will kind of tell with that. The thing for me is that Apple normally kind of sets the market trends, and the fact that they just came out with a premium compact flagship, I think that we're going to see companies start to do that as well. And I'm not saying that Apple's like pioneering that or the first, because they're definitely not. But for a couple of years, we saw just devices getting bigger and bigger, and the only real compact phones being phones that were budget-friendly, like the A-line from Samsung in general, honestly, the OnePlus Nord, the Pixel 3a. But now we're kind of seeing companies realize that some consumers want smaller phones, but they don't want to sacrifice things. So I think that we're going to see kind of this market trend towards smaller premium phones. And it'd be awesome if OnePlus did that. I don't know if they're going to do a OnePlus 9 that is just smaller, but has all the same specs. I would be doubtful that they do that now, but maybe when the 9T comes out, they'll launch something alongside it.
Oh, 100%. Because so according to Max Jamber, or Jamber, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. Anyway, on December 8th, so I didn't see this until recently, the Pro model is going to actually receive IP68 water and dust rating, but the normal OnePlus 9 and the rumored OnePlus 9e will not get that certification. Just kind of reinforcing the entire thing of there's going to be a three-tier model now with the OnePlus devices instead of what it was before where it was, well, actually, no, there was the two-tier before. Now it's going to be three tier. So it's going to be, I feel like, more like the Galaxy lineup of phones where it comes with the Galaxy S20 Pro and then the S20e and all those kind of variants. Can't really think of them off the top of my head.
Yeah, like the S10, S10e, S10 Plus.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. So all those kind of variants, I think that's what OnePlus is going for this year. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if with the OnePlus 9T, they decided to do a smaller one, because I've been saying this for time. I really, really want to see smaller phones in the market. I want to be using smaller phones. By the end of 2021, I want to have a small phone in my pocket. That's all I want.
And you know, you may get it, but for a lot of the listeners, and I think just people in general, they do want a big phone. And if you are interested in a big phone, the OnePlus 9 obviously is going to be that, and you're going to get that better camera technology. There's a potential, and I'm not sure if this is going to have any merit, but there's a potential for a 4K screen on a Pro model.
Ooh, that would be really, really sick.
Yeah, I'm a little doubtful about that. I read that on a rumor roundup site, and I feel like sometimes people just like throw out crazy stuff, and then if they're right, they can be like, yeah, we're right. But if they're wrong, like, they just don't acknowledge it. So we'll see. I would kind of be surprised. We saw that initially on a Sony phone, and I just feel like it didn't go over that well. People realized that a 4K display wasn't worth its cost on battery and things like that, and maybe the cost, the actual price cost. But if anyone was to do it well, I think it'd be OnePlus. And as screens get bigger and bigger, obviously increasing the resolution does have some impact on pixels per inch and stuff like that. So I guess we'll see with that one. But if I had to say, or Darsh, if you had to say, actually, would you say a 4K screen, like resolution is more important, or refresh rate is more important?
Personally, I think the refresh rate is more important rather than the screen resolution. That's mostly because, like, you're right, like the pixels per inch isn't, like, it's going to change drastically. You'll be able to see things so much clearer, but that's because it's such a small display with a high resolution. So realistically, the human eye can't see to a certain extent. That's why, like, when it comes to getting, like, any friend of mine that will ask, hey, should I pick up this computer or this monitor or something like that? They're asking, should I pick up a 4K one? I'm like, you don't need it. Your eyes aren't going to notice the difference between 1080p and 4K right now, and especially for the near future. And that's for, like, a monitor, like something you're going to be using with the computer. So for a phone, I don't think you need 4K. So I think the higher refresh rate is probably a bit better. But having 4K on a screen on your phone would definitely be something cool, especially in a Pro model for those Pro users who really do want those and who are like huge pixel junkies. But yeah, I think that the higher refresh rate would be cool. But overall, what would be the coolest would be having a 6.7 inch 4K display with 120 hertz refresh rate. I think that would be the absolute ideal in almost every single world.
Be like pulling in all the stops. But I'm going to push back a little bit, Darsh. I personally use a 5K monitor, and I might be the minority here, but I can actually tell the difference in resolution. And even on my phone, when I watch a video in a higher resolution than 1080p, I can noticeably see the sharpness increase. So maybe not for the general person, definitely not on a smartphone display. I don't think most people would notice a difference, but on like a tablet or even a laptop or monitor, I definitely can see the difference.
Oh no, 100% you can see the difference. I didn't mean you couldn't see the difference. Sorry. I meant that you could, it's more so like the difference for the average consumer doesn't mean that much. If you're someone who just wants the absolute best, no matter what, yeah, sure, go for 4K, spend the extra $200-$300 on it. But if you just need a monitor for the extra screen real estate for Excel, like go get a 1080p screen or a 1440p screen, like that's all you need. So I mean, in the sense of a general consumer who just wants to do general tasks, I would say I'd highly recommend just 1080p, 1440p screens. I think that's all you'd really need at the current moment. But if you want to spend that extra money and get the 4K, 6K, 8K, whatever the latest and the greatest is, you definitely should and could. Like,
yeah.
Like I'm still on 1080p and I regret it. I really want to get on 4K. I've been looking at my brother. My brother picked up a 4K monitor and I've been looking at it and like watching things on it whenever he showed me stuff. And it's just incredible. The graphics, the display as a whole is just beautiful. I really want a 4K screen.
Yeah. I shoot every video in 4K. I genuinely notice a difference, like a huge difference between 1080 and 4K. I don't notice as much of a difference between 4K and 8K. And maybe over time we will. I definitely think that there's that, I forget what it's called, law of diminishing return.
Law of diminishing marginal returns. Yeah.
Basically, like as something gets more and more up there, the return gets less and less. So like if you buy a $50 camera, Darshan, I know you know this, but I'm explaining for anyone that doesn't.
Yeah,
if you buy like a $50 camera and then you buy an $80 camera, you're going to get huge improvements. But if you buy an $800 camera and then you buy a $2,000 camera, the jump from $800 to $2,000 will be a lot less substantial than the jump from $50 to $800, just because as things get more and more expensive, the return you get on them is less and less. So kind of similar thing would be with the resolution. The jump from 240p to 1080p is huge. And then the jump from 1080p to 4K is still really big, but it's less than 240 to 1080. Similarly, the jump from 4K to 8K is going to be less substantial than 1080 to 4K. So I don't know. I think that we're going to just keep seeing this race for resolution in general. And I think that it makes sense for like certain things. Like 8K definitely looks a little bit better. And you have the ability to punch in and change shots and stuff, which we saw 8K on a bunch of flagships this year, and it's been cool, but there are so many compromises with the 8K file format, from just sheer size to the amount of power it takes to edit something like that. So 4K feels like the standard for now, and maybe like 5 years from now, 8K will be more so, but I don't know about a 4K screen in a phone. I don't think it's necessary if it causes any battery life implications.
Oh, 100%. I think that's the one thing that's probably going to be the biggest battery life drain, like the battery drainer. It's just going to be a 4K screen. That's why I don't think you necessarily need it in terms of the phone. But with regard to like using it for your like videos and like creating and just looking at everything, having a 5K monitor, I can only imagine would be spectacular. And actually, the one thing I keep forgetting to ask my brother if I can try is just watching my videos in 4K, because I still haven't seen my videos in 4K.
Really?
I produce all my videos in 4K. I've never seen it in 4K, like never, not in my life. And I produce every single one in 4K.
That's insane, actually, because you're not able to enjoy like the fruits of your labor.
Yeah, like I feel like it's like the iffy part of it. That's why like I really want to upgrade to a 4K monitor, not even just for like consumption of regular content, it's consumption of my own content. I want to be able to see how I'm doing it and how that's kind of going. And it's just interesting as a whole. I think that'd be very interesting just to see. I would eventually need to see it in 4K, just make sure I'm actually producing stuff that's in focus. Cause I feel like maybe at 1080p, I don't notice it not in focus. Maybe it's not in focus, but I don't know. We'll see that in the future.
With resolution as a whole, people are more likely to deal with a lower res thing that has good audio versus a higher res thing that has really bad audio. So I would also love to see manufacturers kind of focus on improving microphone quality and not just upping the resolution of their videos.
Oh, 100%.
And I think that we're seeing some manufacturers do that. It'll be interesting to see on OnePlus if they do that. Their microphones have not been bad by any means. They're pretty average. The Pixel actually had a pretty bad mic. I've tested it in like camera comparisons and I've done a side-by-side. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting thing for sure. OnePlus always does super well, especially in the Indian markets, because the pricing is so competitive there.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I'm really excited. It's coming out probably March. So a lot of these rumors can change a lot. Until then, you have a lot of people just like speculating and trying to look at Oppo and other companies that maybe are aligned with OnePlus and trying to see if they can get any Easter eggs or hints from that. But based on the audience feedback to any video I make on OnePlus, there are definitely a ton of people that are going to be anticipating this and very excited about it.
The huge thing with OnePlus, for me at least, like the reason I always hear about it too, is whenever I get in contact with my cousins in India, a lot of the time, at least for the past couple of years, I've always gotten questions about OnePlus phones, because it's always been that like really, really competitive phone. And I think what they're coming out with OnePlus 9 is going to be absolutely fantastic. Another cool rumor that I just want to bring up before we end up kind of moving away from this is the 45 watt wireless charging for the Pro model. So basically they're offering, well, the rumor is they'll be offering 45 watt wireless charging for the new OnePlus 9 Pro versus the 30 watt charging that it was last year. And with that, it'll basically offer like very, very, very quick charging, which would be really cool, as well as reverse wireless charging, so that the OnePlus accessory line can then be charged up and kept consistent, so they can kind of expand that line with when it comes to the OnePlus earbuds that they have that are competitive with the AirPods, and maybe cases or like charging cases or all these different things that they want to do, battery packs and stuff like that. And that'd be really, really cool.
So your cousins in India, would they be more likely to be interested in like the OnePlus 8T or like the OnePlus Nord? Like, is the budget phone enticing there, or is the OnePlus 8, because it's already kind of on a more budget price?
So like from what I know, it's kind of like just, it's dependent on each person, like whether or not they're trying to go, whether or not it's whatever, whoever's budget is. So if someone's budget is like lower, they'll probably go for more budget, but there's definitely a lot of different people in the Indian market or the Asian market who'll be going for the higher end ones. It's really, it'll fluctuate just based on what you're looking for at that time, or depending on how big of a difference it is between the Pro model and the budget model. Because they're always, sometimes there's always a huge difference and sometimes there's a very small difference, and it's very much contingent on that.
Yeah, I'm so excited, man. Like, I think it's incredible that it's kind of already really popular in India, but it's also coming to the United States, and I can't wait to look at just like content on the new display with the fast refresh rate and hopefully high resolution. Speaking of looking at things on displays, I just came out with some wallpapers in collaboration with Luke. So for anyone listening to this, every single month on my YouTube channel, which is Nothing But Tech, I'm going to be doing a themed intro. I think that YouTube intros can get so boring if they're just the same thing over and over. So every single month, there's going to be like this theme around the intro. So for example, the standard intro for October had a Halloween theme. And then for December, it was a holiday theme. I'll link some examples below in case you want to check them out. But Darsh, I don't even know if you know about this because you haven't been on social that much, but every single month, we're going to update the intro, make like a themed logo for it, and then also come up with a themed wallpaper.
Yeah, actually, so the one thing I have on Twitter that I've never turned off is just suggested tweet notifications. So like tweets of people that I usually interact with will kind of just be notified. And cool enough, actually, a lot of your tweets, I get notified about yours, MKBHD, Sarah Dici, like all those kind of people in the space, like they kind of all get like notified, they all get on my phone. And so I see them a lot of time, and I saw this and I thought that was actually genius. The wallpaper thing I think is cool, but not even just that, the changing of your intro every month based on like a different theme, I think that's really cool. And it's really, really cool to kind of keep everyone engaged, you know, over time.
Yeah, dude, I'll show you right now on the Zoom. This is this month. It's like a little early preview for Darsh.
That's sick.
Dude, thank you. Yeah, Luke is so talented. For anyone listening to this, I'm going to be a little exclusive. The theme for this month is New Year's. So it's Times Square with a ball dropping. And there's so many hidden references and Easter eggs and things within it to things I like or other pieces of content. So I can't wait to see people kind of discover them. And every single month, there's going to be different Easter eggs and hidden references. So there's going to be a spot on my website to download wallpapers and stuff. I'll link that below if you want to check them out. I personally think that they're awesome and incredible. And there's definitely going to be some hidden references to digital dive stuff in future themes and stuff. So just wanted to mention that. I'm super excited about it. And Luke is just a jack of all trades, to be honest.
Honestly, Luke has been a jack of all trades. And the one thing that I'm hoping that he does in the new year is probably going to be sleep more or at least get into caffeine. Because the thing is, this man does not sleep, or at least from what I've noticed. I hope that the break has been good to him. Luke, if you're listening to this, I hope you really enjoyed your break, buddy.
No, dude, it has not.
Oh, wow.
I think the break's been good to him, but he's been up very late because I've been up very late and we still chat like every night or most nights at like 3 a.m.
So I think the only way you guys are able to do this is the only way you're able to do this is probably with the sheer amount of cold brew you've been drinking. And I think right now is the best time to go grab a cold brew and then get back to this talk and get back to this conversation. So I'm going to go grab a coffee, even though it's like 7 o'clock here.
Yeah, me too, though.
Because why not?
It's never too late for cold brew.
And so let's go grab a coffee and come back.
Yeah, and when we come back, guys, we're going to be talking a little bit, or actually, I kind of want to dive into it a lot, Darsh.
I like the wordplay.
Electric cars as a whole, Tesla trying to sell to Apple for that mini moment, and kind of just talk about the future of electric cars and Tesla and kind of what we need to see happen in the electric car market for it to become mainstream. Mm-hmm. And then we're also going to talk about my experience with the HomePod mini, because we mentioned it a couple episodes ago, but now I've been testing it for a really long time and we have a ton of thoughts about it. So a lot of stuff when we come back. Go grab a cold brew yourself and we'll be right back.
Be right back.
Welcome back. Hope you guys got a cold brew, something to drink. Let's talk a little bit about one of the biggest, I think, news stories in the last couple of weeks, which was Tesla and Elon coming out basically saying that at one of their lowest points, he went to Apple and was like, do you want to buy Tesla? And they were straight out saying no.
Well, they didn't even say no. It was Tim Cook didn't even take the meeting. It was like a inferred, like, yeah, just like, no, not happening. And it's really interesting too, because if you look at it, this was 2017 at this time, for a little bit of context. It was Elon Musk. He basically reached out to Tim Cook to see if Apple would want to acquire Tesla, because there was all these rumors about like Apple wanting to build an electric car. And at that time, producing the Model 3 was such a huge hardship on Tesla to do. And at the time, Tesla was worth a tenth of what it is right now. And it's really, really interesting because Tim Cook wouldn't even take the meeting. But now, 3 years or 4 years later, Tesla's doing amazing. And it's just insane to see. And it's like, it's all resurfaced because of the fact that Apple, again, is now rumored doing an electric car.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, even with Tesla being worth as much as it is now, like if Elon could guarantee that they would have been worth 10 times, I still don't think Apple would have bought it, because Apple's reputation is something that like is kind of sacred to the brand. Their reputation is one of the main reasons why their products sell. And Elon is known to be kind of manic sometimes on Twitter. Also, I think eventually Apple wants to create their own electric car, and to buy Tesla, it doesn't necessarily align with their brand vision as a whole, but it is interesting to me because Tesla can offer a lot of technology to Apple that would probably help Apple streamline the car design. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting that the electric car market is very interesting because Tesla is obviously the leader in it. And then you have other brands, more traditional car companies like Porsche and Ford and all these other brands kind of getting in on it. But Marquez actually just recently made a video about this as well. None of them can compete with Tesla's charging market, which is arguably like the most important thing about an electric car. Like I was talking to people recently and I said to them, like, would you want to switch to an electric car? And they said to me, oh, but I could still put gas in, right? Like, it's a hybrid. And I was like, no, it is fully electric. And they were like, yeah, no, I wouldn't, because I don't trust myself to be able to find a charging station. It would just stress me out anytime I'm driving, and I don't want to make the leap yet. And that's a common concern with electric cars as a whole. And Tesla has really worked on making that a non-issue because of how many superchargers there are all over the world. And it's really interesting to me that companies won't take them up on using their superchargers, because Tesla's offered brands like Porsche the ability to use their superchargers, which would then allow Porsche's electric car to be a lot more versatile. But all of these companies are really insistent on building their own charging networks.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, it's the same thing as like Apple, what Apple did initially, right? When it came to like the Lightning or like the 30-pin connector, they essentially made it so that it was a closed market and it wasn't open source and no one could use it. So that's what I think everyone wants to be able to do for themselves, so that they can essentially just kind of make their brand like the leading brand. As cool as that is and as great as that is for them, I really think that they should take Tesla up on the supercharger network, because just considering how big the electric car market is becoming, and because of the fact that it's open source, it just means that if every company wanted to start making electric cars, they literally could, and they could put them on the streets and have charging available for literally everyone so quickly. But for a little bit of context for everyone who's listening, Tesla being an electric car company, Elon Musk, when he started putting out Tesla's electric cars, he basically started creating a supercharged network where he'd have basically like kind of like gas stations, but like electric car stations, where you basically just go in, fill up your car super quick at one of these superchargers. You get a little bit of a top up, or you can fill up your car fully and you pay for the electricity that you use, and you can fill up your car and then go drive. And they've kind of placed them all over the states. They're everywhere in the states. They're coming all across the globe now, and they're really being set up everywhere.
It was free for the Model S. Like, it was free for the top tier cars.
It was free for the top tier cars. I think at the beginning, I think now they're probably starting to charge, right? Because it's becoming more mainstream. Or do you know if it's still free?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're charging for the Model 3, but that the Model S and like the other really expensive cars, I'm pretty sure that you still get that for free.
Okay, yeah. But regardless, so when it comes to the supercharger network, different companies, different car companies, like Porsche just released the Taycan, and the Taycan is fantastic. It's such a luxurious supercar that's in like a electric fashion. It's just beautiful. And then Ford released the new Mustang, so the Mach-E. So it's basically a Mustang electric SUV, which, I mean, it goes against everything that Ford stands for when it comes to the Mustang line, but still, it's an incredible piece of technology, incredible car. And they're all using their own proprietary or the general fast charge network, so the general charging, like electric car charging network, which I think is kind of, it's redundant. Like, why use something that's like half baked when there's a fully set up and fully baked idea that's already been implemented? Like, I feel like it's just a battle of egos at that point.
Yeah. Well, okay. Just two things. I just searched it up to be sure. Tesla's actually now giving a year of supercharging for free to Model Y and Model 3 users, like new ones, because they're trying to ramp up sales and reach the 500K vehicle delivery target for 2020. So that was on December 15th of 2020. Business Insider reported that. But regardless, I think that there are two ways to look at the supercharging thing. I think the first way is, like, as a company, you don't want to be dependent on a competitor. And if you're dependent on a competitor's supercharging network, like if your car uses that charging network, you're kind of screwed, because you're at the mercy of whatever decisions they make. Like, if they start charging customers, like, I'm sure that four customers that have the electric car would be pissed if Tesla increased price, and they'd be mad at Ford, even though it's Tesla's supercharging network.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I don't think that you can rely just on the Tesla supercharging network. But what Mark has said in his video, which I totally agree with, is the company should make it an option. So they should have their own supercharging network, like Ford and Porsche and all those brands should kind of expand, but they should also make it so their cars are compatible with the Tesla one, so people can use a Tesla one now as it's pretty popular, and then when Ford gets popular, or Porsche, however you want to pronounce it, expands, then people can use that one. That feels like it would make the most sense to me.
Yeah.
But again, I just think that brands, there's a little bit of an ego involved, a little bit. But, and there's also the business side, of course, like for their reputation, if they're relying on Tesla, that does not look great. So it's kind of, there's so many different factors.
I feel like it's very much, it is a toss up, but what you literally just said was, what, like, you took the words right out of my mouth. I think that they should, the same way that Tesla comes with a converter, when you buy a Tesla, basically it comes with a charging converter. So you can go to general electric car charging outlets, like that are around the city or wherever you are. Like, I know where I am, if I go to one of like the bigger malls, like one of the tourist malls, they'll have like electric car charging stations, and it'll be general electric car chargers, but they have an adapter that comes with your Tesla that you can basically just hook up and then charge your car with, which is absolutely insane. So I think that other cars should be doing the same thing, but with Tesla's network. They should be giving them the option to use Tesla's superchargers, because if they're there and they're available, what's the harm of using them? Because it's only just going to accelerate sales for you in the end game. It's like they're basically complaining about, like, imagining let's say like gas companies. They're basically complaining about the gas companies making all the money from the gas instead of them. That's kind of what they're doing.
I mean, it's slightly more nuanced just because like with a gas company, to the best of my knowledge, I obviously don't know a ton about like gas companies, but a gas station has to supply the gas, like order it, et cetera. Whereas like with Tesla, like they're just supplying electricity and like the infrastructure for it. So it makes sense that they would make money from it. But yeah, I think there's the money thing, but the reputation is a big one. Keeping your customers happy is a big one. It would kind of be like, it's kind of how Apple doesn't use USB Type-C.
Yeah.
Even though USB Type-C is kind of universal. But the difference is it's not like USB Type-C is owned by Samsung.
Yeah.
And then LG is using it. It's just a universal technology. Whereas this is owned by Tesla and then a competitor would be using it. So it's a little different. But if their end goal is to make a cleaner, more electric friendly world, then it makes sense just to temporarily use those charging networks and make them an option.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's like the lightning port or the lightning cable. Like it's just very much, that's already been created. And we're expecting everyone to jump on the lightning cable when there's a bunch of other options available. It's like, kind of like that. It's like a proprietary charger, but now it's open source. I don't know if I'm making sense. Maybe that was a little bit of a tangent. I just think the entire thing is interesting because as a whole, like Elon Musk being Elon Musk, he's a little bit manic. He's a genius. He's creates the coolest innovations and has been innovating since I don't even know how long. Plus, he's also Canadian, so that kind of means a lot to me too.
Oh, is he?
Well, he went to university in Ontario.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he went to Queen's University. So I don't know. I have like a lot of love for Elon Musk, and I think that like a lot of the stuff that he's been doing is absolutely incredible. And I think when it comes to the Model 3 and the way that he was going through those hardships and he kind of dealt with all of it and the entire charging fiasco, I guess, with everyone kind of trying to do their own thing. I think in the end of the day, electric cars are the future and they're going to be the way that we end up going, at least for the next little bit. And I'm excited to see where they do go in terms of the charging networks and how they grow over time. Because I know the Porsche Taycan, for example, is absolutely being very well received. Everyone I know, even car lovers and car enthusiasts, people who love the solidarity of an engine and everything behind that, they're even thinking the Porsche Taycan, at least some of the ones that I know really like it. So I don't know. It's just going to be a very interesting, I guess, couple of years, for electric cars in the future and Tesla as a whole.
I also think it would kind of be a smart move, and I don't think Tesla would do it, but to announce a hybrid, because there are some people that want to be a little cleaner, but they don't necessarily want to give up the convenience of gas and the comfort that knowing that there's like a million gas stations provides. So a hybrid would be great because I think it would sell people on the fact that they could go full electric and be okay without the gas. Like I think if you got a hybrid car and you were charging it every night in your garage, like you would understand that you don't necessarily need gas stations and stuff. So I hope that there's more competition and stuff in the hybrid space as well and not just an electric car race, because eventually we want to get to electric, but hybrid is a little bit better than gas only, and it will kind of be like that gateway into the fully electric scene.
Oh, 100%. But wait, when you say hybrid, do you mean hybrid from Tesla?
I would love to see it. I don't think we will. A hybrid like means like half gas, half electric. I mean, Tesla's mission is all electric, so I doubt that they would do it, but I think it'd be kind of a good move.
I mean, Tesla's mission is all electric, yes, but also if they ever created a hybrid, I don't think I would ever buy it. Like kind of a hot take here, I don't think I would buy a hybrid from us.
Interesting. Why?
So here's the thing with Tesla, and like Tesla as a whole is a great company and they're doing great work and they're creating great cars, but they're great cars to an extent. Like the one huge thing that Tesla doesn't have going for it is longevity and premium qualities. There's so many issues coming off the line with a lot of different Teslas. It's kind of hit or miss with a lot of people. Some people will report huge issues with the chassis and everything like that. And other companies, say other people will report small issues or no issues at all. And I feel like when it comes to an engine, they've never made an engine before, and I wouldn't trust their first attempt on an engine, especially for a car, something you buy for the upwards of 3 to 4 years.
That's interesting.
Because there is already a lot of issues with them coming off the line. I don't know if I would trust them in terms of creating an engine, because they've never done that before. Creating a battery and a motor is one thing, but creating a full-out engine, I feel like, is a whole different ballgame as a whole.
Yeah. And also, I just feel like for their reputation, they probably would not
want to. Oh, no. Yeah. It would completely just trash their reputation. Like, if they go and they completely cave.
Their mission statement's all electric. And then it's like, oh, but we're making one gas. But I don't know. I think it would kind of be cool.
It'd be really interesting to see Elon's vision when it comes to a hybrid or any gas-powered vehicle. But I know he'd never do it. So that's kind of out of the question.
My next vehicle, like, I would want a hybrid. I wouldn't go full electric yet just because I don't trust myself enough. Like I was just talking about that hypothetical person, but for me too, I don't trust myself enough yet to just like commit to an electric car without trying it and making sure that I can be responsible with charging it and stuff. So a hybrid would kind of let me get my feet wet. that's something that I'm definitely considering.
Hybrids are really interesting cars, but I personally think that I'd either go full force electric or full force, or just keep it full gas. I don't know if I'd actually end up ever going. I don't know if I like hybrid as much as I'd like just full electric.
I don't know. I think hybrid is cool because if you just want it to be gas, like you don't even have to think about the fact that it's electric or vice versa, if done right. So I don't think there's like any real drawbacks to it. Although, like, there's definitely your options are really limited.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, there's so many different gas cars and stuff. So that, I guess, is a drawback. But this is one of those topics where our opinions are not the expert opinion or the valid opinion. They're just that opinion. So if you guys have a differing opinion, we'd actually love to hear from you. If you want to tweet us at Digital Dive Pod, let us know, would you buy a hybrid or would you just go full electric or full gas? That's, I think, a really interesting question that I don't know if it's been posed a lot in the tech community, but yeah, let us know on Twitter.
Yeah, I want to hear about what you guys think about the entire thing when it comes to buying a car. Would you guys go full electric? Would you guys go hybrid? Would you guys go full gas? Like, what are your thoughts on it? So make sure to tweet us at the Digital Dive Pod. All the links for all of our social will be down below, so you can go check those out there.
Dude, should we do stuff we like this week?
Oh, we haven't done that in so long. I'm so down to do stuff we like this week.
Yeah, it's honestly going to be stuff we like the last 3 weeks because we haven't done a podcast, yeah. But for new listeners, this is something that we do towards the end of the episodes, just to give you a little insight into what we're digging that week. I learn a lot from Darsh, and I check out all the stuff that he does, and we link everything in the show notes. So,
same goes.
Darsh, I'm going to start us off.
Yeah, go for it.
I just listened to an amazing book on Audible by Pat Flynn, who is the creator of SwitchPod.
Okay.
Which is like that metal tripod that's like the competitor to Joby.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so he's kind of like an incredible like social entrepreneur, internet entrepreneur, and he created a book called How to Build an Audience, Find Your Tribe. I forget what it's called. The title is Superfans, and then the three things are like how to build an audience, find your tribe, and carve out like an online space, basically. And the book is all about how do you convert the casual viewer that just watches your videos occasionally but doesn't necessarily care about you to the person that listens to every video, leaves a comment, feels connected, you can engage with them, and they really are invested in the brand. Like, how do you find your tribe?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I think, maybe the best book I read all year. It was so engaging the entire time. Like, there was not 1 minute of it where I was like, oh, get to the point. Or 1 minute of it where I felt like it was dragging on or I wasn't getting value or it wasn't worth it. Like, with a lot of books, self-help books and personal development books, I feel like I have to listen to them, but I don't necessarily enjoy listening to them. This book was so enjoyable to listen to that I was actually really sad when it was over.
Wow. I think I definitely have to check that out. I haven't been a huge or a very avid reader or like Audible reader. I kind of want to get into it and start listening to more books and kind of hearing about the different things I can do better in my life and kind of improve. I think with the new year, 2021, I think it's going to be a great year for self-improvement, especially knowing what to expect for this coming year, I guess, in part, in terms of like already used to quarantine, already used to like not seeing too many people, just kind of focusing myself. But yeah, I think that's actually definitely a cool book that I definitely want to check out. You said it's on Audible?
Yeah. I mean, you can listen to it anywhere or listen or wow, English. You can read it anywhere. But if you want to listen to it like I did, he actually narrates it, which is like always really fun for me to hear the author narrate it. And he does like these side tangents that aren't written into the book. So you kind of get like extra value if you listen to it. Yeah, Darsh, I would actually really recommend it because for anyone listening right now, Darsh is planning on getting back into YouTube this year full force. So, which is really exciting. First of all, as a viewer of your channel, I'm stoked. But also, you, I think it would actually be really useful for you in the same way it was for me of like realizing like, okay, there are certain things that I should do that make it a more enjoyable experience for the audience and kind of grow the brand.
100%. I think that's something I will definitely take into account and probably do check out. Probably will check out in the coming weeks. And with that being said, as Jacqueline did mention, for everyone listening who actually did tweet me, I did get a couple of tweets after after our last episode. Yes, I am producing content again this year. I'm going to go in full force. I want to do weekly episodes and everything. I'll outline all of that in a video on my channel very, very soon. So everyone tweeting at me, asking me, where's the next video? Like I asked last time, keep tweeting me because the videos are going to come really, really soon.
Oh, did people actually do it?
Oh, I got like 5 or 6 tweets. I felt really, really good about it.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like you guys actually want to hear my content and see my content, and I'm just really, really excited to create it. But in terms of stuff we like this week or stuff I like this week, on a note of, I guess, Netflix and just kind of watching content, I started watching this show called Lethal Weapon. It's based off the classic movie Lethal Weapon with, I think it was Donald Glover and I don't know who, Danny Glover and Mel Gibson.
Is that the one where it's like cops? Is that the movie you're talking
about?
Yeah,
yeah. It's like, I'm way too old for this. So that movie series came out in like the 80s or the 90s. And I thought that I never actually seen it, but I saw there was a TV show on Netflix, basically a reboot of it. And they're taking the movies and kind of breaking them into TV show style. And I personally really, really liked it. And I got hooked on it in the first day. And I ended up watching it like, I think I went through the first 2 seasons in like 3 days. So I highly recommend it. If you're into cop shows, I think it's absolutely fantastic. It kind of falls off after the second season, but first two seasons, absolutely fantastic. Highly recommend them.
Awesome. Yeah, I actually really like that kind of stuff. Like, one of my favorite movies of all time is Mission Impossible, which is like kind of like that action type movie.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I love Mission Impossible.
But I think this has like some comedy as well, right?
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of comic relief because it is a TV show, but it's a drama series. And it's like, I think it's just really cool because it's very recent. It was, I think, started in 2017 and then finished in 2019.
Oh, sweet.
It was a pretty recent show, fairly recent, and it finished fairly recently too. So it was, I don't know, I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah, well, definitely gonna check that out. I also started watching on Netflix. I've only seen one episode so far, but there's this new show, I think it's called Bridgerton.
I think I've heard of it or seen like the ad for it or something.
It's a Netflix original, so they're probably promoting it like crazy, but
yeah,
basically I'm not gonna recommend it wholeheartedly yet because I haven't watched the whole thing, so I don't know like what happens, but it's basically based in 1800s Britain, and it kind of like goes through like the what society was like there. It follows a couple families that are extremely wealthy and kind of like what the courting process was like back then.
Mm-hmm.
Women had to like find a husband, and like that was a huge societal thing. Like there was like 6 months worth of events and kind of like all the drama and things that go along with that. I love it because it's like super well shot, as most Netflix originals are, and it kind of like the set design really brings you back to what it must have looked like, which is really cool. So I've only watched one episode, but I thought it was really well done. It's done by Shonda Rhimes, who made Grey's Anatomy and a bunch of other iconic shows, so I have high hopes for it.
Yeah, no, I was literally just reading up on it. 92% Rotten Tomatoes. Its executive producers are Shonda Rhimes, Betsy Beers, and Chris Van Dusen. And I think Shonda Rhimes, given how well Grey's Anatomy has done in the past couple of years, I can only assume this show will probably be pretty dope. So I definitely want to check this out. Another thing I want to mention for the stuff we like this week, last one for me at least, is going to be a little tech-based, not necessarily, I guess, media-based. And it's Apple Watch. So for Christmas, actually, my parents picked me, my sister and I, up an Apple Watch. Both of us got the SEs, the SE models. And I've had it on my wrist literally for the past 2 weeks since I got it. And I haven't taken it off because I've been just at home in sweats for the past 2 weeks, just doing nothing. As I already mentioned, it's great. I've mentioned in past episodes, I'm not the biggest fan of the Apple Watch because I like normal standard analog watches. And I still stand with that. But something I just kind of got used to, and I guess I really didn't realize how much I liked, was the ability to get all of my notifications on my wrist at all times, especially during quarantine where I'm leaving my phone in random places all the time. I don't always have it on me. Kind of getting those notifications while I'm home is really, really useful. And I just thought it was like an honorable mention of something to bring up, because I always do trash the Apple Watch every time we talk about it. Just, I always bring up how useless it is. And I kind of wanted to retract my statements from the past.
And now you're wearing it, man.
Because now I'm wearing it.
Now you have it on.
And now I have it on. I'm literally wearing it right now. Genuinely, I think it's a pretty great device. I don't know if I recommend it to everyone, but I think for what I have and what I've been using it for the past couple of weeks, it's been fun. Definitely expect a video on it with all of my thoughts, because I have a lot of them and they're coming soon.
I'm super stoked to hear what you think. I actually am kind of the opposite of you. I wore it a ton pre-quarantine, and I don't think I've put it on in like 8 months, which is kind of crazy. Like, I used to wear it every single day because my life was a lot more hectic, and like in terms of traveling internationally, speaking at events, going to phone launches, like all these things that required me to have like my calendar on my wrist and like know what time it is and things like that. I kind of have a little bit less need for it now, so I haven't worn it in a long time. But
definitely fair, definitely fair.
Also, like, I felt what, because now we're all washing our hands a lot, even more than we were before, it kept getting wet all the time and it was kind of annoying. I don't know if it's just like a me problem.
No, that's definitely fair. I'll get wet all the time.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm glad that wasn't just like a weird statement I made. But yeah, no, it would kind of like get like splashed as I was washing. And then I feel like I should wash it, because if my hands were dirty, then the watch was probably dirty. So then I just like stopped wearing it for a while. Interestingly, as that left my life, something else entered it, which was a HomePod mini, which I did not expect to like as much as I did. That's going to be another one on my stuff we like this week. That's my last one for this week. I'm coming out with my full review right now, so I won't like fully spoil it, but it's so good. It's not perfect. The Spotify integration, the way you have to listen to Spotify music on here, since Spotify did not pick up the API yet, is through AirPlay, which means that the controls are a little bit delayed. That's the first thing. But also, you can't just be like, hey Siri, play my March playlist or something. It wouldn't do that because it's not directly integrated in the same way it is with Apple Music. But the sound quality is so good that I feel like it's actually worth it. Like, it's $99 and it sounds incredible. I actually re-listened to my full playlist on it, which is like 100 songs for this month. And I noticed things about my song, like the songs that I had never noticed before. Like, it brought so much attention to different areas of the song. So that's a quick take that we promised you guys. HomePod Mini is dope.
Wow.
Full review coming with three different scenarios. I'm going to walk through, like, if you use Apple Music, if you don't, if you just want something to get you started with a smart home, like all the different scenarios, because there are certain scenarios where it doesn't make sense. But yeah, Darsh, I was so impressed with it, actually. It was amazing.
Well, actually, that video sounds really, really good. Like, how, like, in what situations it'd be good for. Because I know for Christmas, my brother was asking me if I wanted a HomePod, and I kept saying no, but I kept having this thought in the back of my mind, maybe it's worth it. So I'm definitely excited to see your video and see how that kind of works out, because I think it's definitely something really cool, and the HomePod Mini definitely could be appealing to a lot of people. But with that all being said, I think that is probably the end of the episode, because we're getting pretty far here in time.
That's the cap.
That's the cap of the video. So the cap of the episode.
Season 2 of episode 1.
Season 2 episode 1, or just normally episode 23.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. We're gonna have to see on Buzzsprout how that works.
We're gonna have to see how this all works and stuff like that.
It's unofficially season 2.
This is unofficial season 2. For all the real ones listening this far in, you're part of the real squad, season 2, episode 1. Anyway, before we do go, I want to give a huge thank you, as always, to Luke as our editor, who just does an amazing job and pulls through with everything that we end up needing being done. He gets it done on time, and he does a fantastic job. Go check him out. Links down below, as well as Adil Constantine for our intro and outro music as well. His stuff will also be linked down below.
Sweet. That's a wrap, guys. We'll see you next Monday. All the episodes launch at, what is it, Darsha? I think it's 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central.
8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central.
That's it.
Monday mornings. Go check it out. Definitely, this episode is going to be the start of a really, really cool year, guys. Definitely go check it out. We're super excited to see what we have in store and what you guys have in store for us.
52 episodes.
52 episodes.
Yeah. So many guests, so many cool things coming. If you guys have any feedback for us, this is the last thing we'll say, and then we'll end it. You could tweet us. We're so open to it. If you're like, hey, I love this segment, but I absolutely hate this segment, get rid of it. Just let us know. We want to make this as enjoyable as possible for you to listen to. So we have so much fun recording it, and we want that experience to be felt the same way on your end. Have an awesome week, and we will catch you next week.
Catch you later, guys.